It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Yeagy. Glad you're here today. Today, we're talking about some interesting concept regarding trading, all the crazy stuff that's going on in the markets right now. This person is the number one best-selling book called The Tao of Trading, or the Tao of Trading. And he's got the taoftrading.com. He's got 3 decades of experience in the financial markets. And he was a Goldman Sachs guy and a Citigroup guy, 2 places that I spent a lot of time in when I was on Wall Street. And his vision is to help people live more creative, joyful, and inspired lives. Sound familiar? So please, let's welcome Simon Rees. Simon, welcome.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you. So you are in Singapore. So Singapore, to me, is becoming like the new financial hub. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, look, it is. I mean, Singapore has always had this, I guess, rivalry with Hong Kong. And Hong Kong has, in the last couple of years, really and truly become part of China. I mean, it is China. They had some very draconian lockdowns during the pandemic, and there's been a real flight of people from Hong Kong to Singapore, and not a lot of people really want to go and live in Hong Kong anymore, which is sad because it's always been a fantastic city. Well, one of my favorite cities in the world. But yeah, Singapore, you know, really is kind of marketing itself as the Switzerland of Asia.
And so what's great about Singapore? What are they doing to attract the big financial companies? Because I know they've gotten a lot of huge financial companies in, and they've actually squeezed out some of the smaller people that used to utilize them as more of a financial haven or a place that they could have some safe money and put it aside there in Singapore. What's the difference?
Well, Singapore, you've got a very, very Western style corporate governance regime. You've got rule of law, property rights. It's a very comfortable place for Westerners to do business as well as Asian people. It really works very well as that gateway to Asia. You know, it's much harder to set up a business in Indonesia or Thailand or the Philippines if you're a Westerner. It's really quite straightforward in Singapore.
That's great. That's great. So tell us a bit about what you do and how you came to do what you do today.
So I teach people how to trade. I think that there are a lot of people who reach a certain stage in their life and they realize that they're kind of running out of time if they want to fund their retirement, because they've got some money saved up, but it's not enough to retire on. And if they're generating returns of, call it 10% per annum on that money for the next 10 or 15 years, because that's really all they've got before they retire, they've run out of time. They don't have enough runway to retire comfortably. So what I'm teaching people is that you don't have to just stick your money in a passive portfolio, cross your fingers and hope the market goes up every day, generating a long-term average return of, let's say, 10% per annum, because that's approximately the average annual return of the S&P 500 over the long time. If you approach the markets with a higher level of effort, consistency, education, and diligence, you can generate returns much, much, much better than that. And trading is the way. People often hear the word trading and they associate it with high risk. They associate it with gambling. And there are good reasons for that, but there are also good reasons why that view is also incorrect, which we can talk about more.
Yeah.
But really, it's all about teaching people not to become traders, but to become excellent risk managers.
Yeah, the word trading is kind of a catch-all bucket for investing and putting money to work and you know, maybe moving it around quicker than, you know, buy and hold. It's like the opposite of buy and hold, but, you know, buy and hold is a strategy that doesn't always work either. So, you know, and I always say, you know, I've never met a day trader that's been able to sustain for a long period of time. And so often when you say trading, that goes into the day trading bucket, which is high risk, which is difficult to sustain because it's hard to beat those emotions over time. So what's your trading like? What kind of methods do you teach?
So the style of trading that I teach and that I do is called swing trading. So I'll hold a position from anywhere as short as 2 or 3 days to as long as 2 or 3 weeks. Used to be a bit longer than that, but given the volatility we've seen since the start of last year, my average holding time has become a little bit shorter, but I'm not day trading. I make all of my decisions, in fact, when the market is closed, away from the emotions of the flashing lights and the rising and falling numbers. And I make all of my decisions based off a daily chart. So I'm always looking at how markets finish, where they close.
Sure.
And making my decisions based on that. I don't have the personality for day trading. I just don't have the temperament for it. And I've got no interest in being glued to my screen all day. The way I teach people to trade is to use scans. We teach people how to build their own scans in software. And once you've, and if you think about a golfer grooving their swing or a swimmer, you know, perfecting their stroke, if as a trader, you become very familiar and comfortable with the process of trading, you should be able to do it in half an hour a day on average.
Yeah.
Now, there'll be days where it might take you an hour, but there'll be other days where it might only take you 2 minutes. And I think half an hour a day is a reasonable expectation once you've finished your apprenticeship, so to speak.
So part of your process is the identification of stocks, and then you go into the actual execution of stocks, and you can kind of monitor it on a fairly easy basis on a daily basis, whether you're in it 3 days or 3 weeks, and then you exit those stocks, right?
That's right.
Okay. And so what are your criteria for finding stocks? And it sounds like you and I have had similar backgrounds in swing trading, momentum trading, those kinds of things. So how do you find, what are the stocks that truly make up the higher probability winners for you?
So I'm a trend follower at heart. Most of the methods I use and teach, predominantly four methods. Three of them are trend following methods. One of them is a counter trend method. And that has been very useful in choppier markets where sure. We're seeing sort of less follow through on the trends. But I like trend following. It's got 200 years of research backing it up. It is by far the most researched form of investment and trading. What I like about trend following is you're always moving in the direction of the flow of the river. You know, you're yes. taking the path of least resistance, which takes a lot of the effort out of it. The other thing I like about it, particularly the way I teach it, it's very visual. It can become almost intuitive. Like, you know, my guys can look at a chart and within a split second know whether they should be long or short or just avoiding it altogether. And you can generally identify when you're wrong pretty quickly as well.
Yeah.
So there's no hanging on, holding, hoping that things turn around with your fingers crossed. We really emphasize this idea that you want to identify when you're wrong quickly and do something about it quickly and prevent a small loss from becoming a big loss.
Kill the monster while it's a baby, right?
Absolutely. I love that one. I
mean, that's the biggest mistake that most people make is they get emotional. They don't want to admit they're wrong. And yeah. So they get into a stock, and then if it turns red immediately, they're like, well, I couldn't have been wrong. So let me hold in there or maybe even buy more on the way down, which is just a killer if that's your strategy, especially if you're in a momentum. You should be doing the opposite. But yeah, taking your losses while they're small is such a big thing, but it's the number one mistake most people make on Wall Street, I think, right?
I think you're right. And getting back to the point you made, people would rather drink bleach than admit they're wrong.
Yeah.
And the thing is, in trading, you can be wrong 40% of the time and still make a really good living. You know,
yes,
if you're getting a 60% strike rate, you're doing really well. And this is an important way in which trading does not mirror real life. You know, if you're wrong 40% of the time in your job, your boss is probably going to yell at you. Maybe you'll even get the sack. In real life, being wrong 40% of the time, it doesn't feel that great. But in trading, it can deliver fantastic results.
Yeah, I use a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 ratio if possible. So most stocks, what I found is they go up 20 to 25% and base, and that could be when you exit and look for another opportunity. But if you can catch that little stair step and, make 20 to 25%, if you're wrong, you got to get out at 7%. That's still a 3-to-1 ratio. So you can do very, very well if you happen to catch it right. So you're exactly right on that.
No, I mean, if you've got a 3-to-1 risk reward and you're winning 60% of the time, you are golden. You know, they are great statistics.
I know Paul Tudor Jones shoots for 5-to-1. I've never been able to really achieve 5-to-1, but I do use some covered calls that kind of creates more winning percentage, but less return on the winning percentage. But that's a different kind of trading than what we're talking about here. So in your book, The Tao of Trading, what are some of the key investment tips, strategies, things that we can walk away with that actually help us build wealth? Not so much just, you know, have a good trade, but actually help us build wealth.
You know, finding setups and putting trades on and all that, that's exciting. And that's kind of what turns people on. What I say to people though, that there are kind of three elements to a trade. There's the entry, there's the exit, and then there's risk management. And most people, I'd say 90% of beginners or aspiring traders, they focus on the entry. They think just give me a good entry system and that's all I need. You just tell me when to buy or enter a position. I'm good from there. I'll make money. And what I remind them of is, well, actually the exit is more important than the entry, sure, because without the exit, you don't ever make any money and you don't manage your risk. But the most important of the three is risk management. And what I say to all of my members is don't think of yourself as a trader. In your self-talk, think of yourself as a risk manager. Okay. You want to set a high bar for putting your hard-earned money to risk. And think about what risk really is. Risk is the possibility of loss. Risk isn't volatility. This is just some finance term that the industry has conflated with risk. Risk is that probability of actually losing money and something you really want to minimize. So don't think of yourself as a trader. Think of yourself as a risk manager. Really sit in that seat. And if you show up every day, if you're consistent and you honor the process, success is almost inevitable. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but if you're doing all the other things right and you can just learn that skill of not losing money, the returns will flow.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. Yeah, and so many people don't think about risk management. I think mindset and risk management are the two most important things in any trading system, any investing system. And that's because investment is highly emotional, right? The more emotions you have invested in something, the less intelligent you are with your decision-making process.
Oh, you've hit the nail on the head. Yeah, whenever the emotions flare up, the executive brain cedes control to the lizard brain, and your ability to make high quality decisions is compromised.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, you think about your everyday life. I mean, if you choose the non-emotional path or the non-emotional decision, just watch how much easier your whole life gets.
Right, right. That's why I say to people, I don't make really good decisions when I'm emotional in any part of life, let alone with money, right? Because money's got emotion wrapped up all in it. It's got stored value in it. It's got our stored labor, and it means a lot to us, especially to our limbic brain. We think if we lose money, we're going to not have, you know, a bite to eat. And that creates really quick and bad decision-making. So that's great that you focus on risk management. And the mindset is so critical for that. So that's good. And how can people learn to manage their risk better?
So, I mean, there are principles I deal with in my book and in my online academy, but two important things that I'll share here. The two concepts that I think are worth focusing on. One is position risk management and the other is portfolio risk management. So managing your individual positions is really important. I trade options. Okay. I trade options exclusively, and options trading is what I teach. I have what I call my OMG stop loss level. Okay. And that is if the value of the option premium that I've bought drops by 50%, I quit that position. No questions asked. I'm not sitting around waiting for that to happen. I'm very proactive in my risk management. I always say to people, if I need three or four reasons to get into a trade, I only need one reason to get out. And as soon as something happens that I find unexpected, or that if I see any sort of degradation in the setup, I cut the loss. And hopefully it's a much, much smaller loss than, you know, my OMG level. And that way you keep, you know, your losses from becoming big. And the fact is, with brokerage charges these days, they're either zero or virtually zero. You can always get back in.
Sure.
All right. Trading, you just got to brush the ego aside and say, well, okay, I came out yesterday. I'm going to get back in today. It's moving back in my favor. You might lose a couple of cents of slippage, but you know, it's not worth worrying about. So there's managing risk on individual positions. Then there's portfolio risk management. And my rule there is, if my portfolio as a whole drops 15% from a high water mark, I go to cash. I just go to cash, sell everything, and I stay in cash for a minimum 24 hours, preferably 48 hours. Because what that means, if I'm down 15% from a high water mark, I'm obviously out of sync with the market. And I need to chill out, just let my emotional energy, my emotional charge drop, and then revisit the market with a fresh pair of eyes. Now, the reason I chose 15% is to get back to break even, I only need to make 17%. And I know I can do that. If I let my portfolio drop 50% in value, I've got to make 100% just to get back to break even. That is a deep, dark psychological hole that most people would find it very hard to dig themselves out of.
It is. I love it. I love that you have a couple of lines in the sand. And I think that's really important to have is, you know, the OMG level, which is really good, and the portfolio level, you know, have a couple of circuit breakers in there, because, you know, being in cash is not the worst thing in the world, especially if it gives you time to kind of calm those emotions. So I think that's
really important. Yeah,
really, really good. Good stuff, Simon. I love it. So can people build wealth with trading? I mean, isn't it something that you know, you have a market like this and you give back a lot of money in a bear market because you're not positioned right? Or can you make money on both sides of the market? And do you teach that?
Yeah, the beauty of trading options is you can make money in any market condition, rising, falling, and even choppy markets. Choppy markets are a little harder, but all we do is just moderate our returns expectations while managing risk. By trading options, you can make money in bull markets and bear markets. There are two kinds of options, call options and put options. We buy call options when we think the underlying stock is going to go up. You just remember call up, as in call up a friend. And we buy put options when we think the underlying stock price is going to go down. It's put down, as in, you know, put down your luggage. And it's really, it gets a little bit more complex than that, but not really. So there's only two kinds of options. There's all sorts of strategies you can employ thereon to further limit your risk. But the idea is, we want to be buying calls when we're bullish, and we want to be buying puts when we're bearish. And absolutely. My members and I, we had a good year last year. It wasn't as good as 2021,
right,
but still solidly up on the year, up about 29%. So, you know, it's not a bad year.
I call put trading the dark side, because your brain has to think value goes up when the market goes down and stocks go down. So it's kind of a reversal of the way your brain normally works, but it's an interesting way to make money. Now, how do you handle the question or the statistic or the quote that most option traders lose money? 80% of the time, all options expire worthless and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Well, how do you mitigate that? Because you have time working against you if you're a buyer of an option.
You do. So let me just address the statistics. So when you look at brokerage accounts, I think the statistic is right. It's something like 80% of people lose money trading options. And I think it's because the barriers to entry to options trading are so low. Nobody makes you pass a test or get a license to open an options trading account. Now, think about how many car accidents there would be if nobody made you pass a test or get a driver's license.
Wow.
If people didn't first learn how to drive a car, they just jumped into a car and started driving it, there'd be accidents everywhere. Well, it's the same in options brokerage accounts. People just open an options brokerage account without first learning how to trade, and invariably it ends up resulting in an accident involving their money,
wow,
their health, fortunately. But I think So I think a proper education is really important. People have got, I think, really unrealistic expectations about their own ability to trade. The fact is, if you watch somebody throw a bucket of water, you've actually got a really good intuition. Like your internal systems are really good at intuiting the path that water will take as it leaves the bucket and lands on the floor.
Okay.
But if you look at a share price chart, your internal systems are actually really bad at predicting what's likely to happen to that in the future. And that's where we have to use external systems, which act as guardrails and guideposts as to where price is likely to go and where we're wrong.
Wow. I love the metaphors and the analogies that you use there. The driver's license one is a critical one, because I think it's just too easy to click. And, you know, you go out there, you work for years and you save this money and you got $100,000 or $500,000, whatever the number is for you. And you can click a mouse and invest it in a second, whether you're educated or not. And you usually don't have a system for managing risk or managing your mindset or managing the trade or an exit or an enter. I've never been to a cocktail party where anybody said, tell me what stock to get out of, or when should I buy, right. You know, get out of a stock. They always like, well, what stock should I buy? Right. And they have no strategy. So right. The fact that you're saying there should be training, gosh, I couldn't agree more. And hey, you know, in life, you're either trained in something or you're untrained. And if you're untrained, that's okay. But just know that if you're going to do something when you're untrained, you might have more accidents. Invest in training, right?
Exactly. I mean, if I was going to learn to ski or kite surf or do anything that's sort of remotely dangerous, yeah, by God, I'd get lessons, you know?
Yeah,
just
for sure.
To avoid the risk of injury.
Let alone learning the wrong thing, right?
Learning the wrong thing and just how much more quickly you can learn and pick up the skill as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they say there are three ways to learn. There's the quick way, the slow way, and the tragic way. Whenever I want to learn something, I always choose the quick way. I pay somebody who's already successful to show me how to do it. That way I learn the right way and I learn quickly.
Yeah.
You can learn the slow way too, which is when you just figure it out yourself, make mistakes, learn from your mistakes and get better. And then there's the tragic way. And that's when you don't even learn from your mistakes.
Wow.
And unfortunately, a lot of the mistakes that the market teaches you are not obvious. If somebody isn't pointing out to you what the lesson is or what you might have done wrong, it can take years to learn that way.
Wow. I love it. I love all the thought you put into your systems and methodologies and analogies. So, because it does make sense. And if you're going to learn anything, you got to learn it right. And I think the kind of things that you teach and you talk about make a lot of sense, because everything you've said today certainly lines up with the more than four decades of trading experience that I have as well. So I love the message and I love the simplicity of the message. So thank you for that. You have some resources that maybe we can talk about here. So maybe some people can go a little bit further with you.
Yeah. Look, if people would like to learn a bit more, they can. I've got a welcome page for your listeners. If they hop onto towerftrading.com/WAP, stands for Wealth Architect Podcast. So that's TAOOFTRADING.com/WAP. They can find out a bit more about me. They can download the first chapter of my book for free and they can get some discounts on our programs as well.
I love it. I love it. So that's TAOOFTRADING.com/WAP if you're driving. So you want to write that down later or you write it down right now, because you guys know that if you don't write it down right now, you probably won't go do it. So I highly suggest that you take this man up on his offer and get involved in some of the things that he's talking about, because trust me, there's a lot of wisdom in what he's saying. And I appreciate it. You have any parting thoughts for people, things that they could take away besides some of the great nuggets you've already given us?
Yeah, I think that learning to trade is going to be a really important skill over the next 5 to 10 years. Sure. Because it really does look as though we've entered a new regime of higher economic volatility. You know, we've lost that tailwind of central banks that are printing money and yes. Low volatility and globalization. And, you know, inflation is likely to be up and down. And I think the economy is likely to have a lot more volatility. And that's likely to result in a lot more financial market volatility, if history is any guide. And you might find that we come out in 10 years' time and the stock market hasn't really gone anywhere. It will have had some exciting rallies and some harrowing falls.
Sure.
But ultimately, it just may not make much progress. And lost decades in the stock market are actually a lot more common than I think most people realize.
Yeah, boy, I love that. What do you think is going on with what's going on with the Fed and the banking system? We've had just this week, as we're doing this recording, we've had several big banks fail. They're claiming that they're not systemic, so it's not a big deal, but they're systemic enough to be saving the banks. What do you think of all that financial intervention, Simon?
Look, I think, you know, we saw sort of another classic example of policymaking on the run. I think that the policy as it stands, it's good enough. It stops systemic problems within the banking system. It stops a bank run across the small regional banks. But it's not perfect. It just introduces more moral hazard and potentially rewards further bad behavior.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on, and that creates inefficiency in the market and it screws up the market. It makes it hard to predict, hard to trade. I think you're probably right. We're going to have a decade of volatility, but not necessarily a decade of progress. So good stuff there. So listen, Simon, thank you so much for your time and wisdom. I think it was valuable for our listeners, and certainly hope listeners that you go to thetaoftrading.com/WAP and take advantage of what Mr. Rhee has to offer. And Simon, I want to thank you again for being here and giving us your time on the Wealth Architect podcast.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day, everybody. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.